Happy Wednesday to you. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And how are y'all doing out there? Yes, it's another peaceful, relaxful day. And you know what? We got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about who really cares. And we're talking about veterans, y'all. Yeah, the forgotten people. And that's what I'm going to call them, the forgotten people. Because, you know, although unless something really pops off, you know, and it's put back in the mainstream news per se, everybody forget about veterans, you know. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the veterans and, you know, what can, we can do to help them out a little bit, and, you know, and why are we having so much problem taking care of our veterans? Because, you know, veterans, they've done a lot. They have done a lot. And, you know, it's just amazing at, you know, just how things are going right now. And I'm not just talking about the local veterans from, you know, the Iraq War and the Gulf War. I'm talking about all veterans, Korean War, World War I and II, wherever them living. Woo. But anyway, you know, Vietnam, Grenada, you know, man, there's so much out there that is being that under the table, under the radar, that nobody really knows what's going on. So we gonna hopefully we can shed a little light on that today here on Let's Talk. All right, now anyway, so. That's what we're going to be talking about. So if you want to be a part of the show today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Let's see. I think those are all the ways you can participate on the show today. And I'm looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you. All right. Man, what is really going on with this weather? Yesterday it was 65 degrees. Today is 38. What in the world is really going on? Oh, man, I tell you, if you ever figure out this weather, somebody send me a memo on it because I'm missing all the memos. You know, this Texas, I don't know where the cold is coming from, but, you know, it's supposed to be warm, at least decent. But, hey, I guess that's the way it is. Global warming and all that good stuff they talk about. Maybe it is some truth to that. That's for another show, another day. That's for sure. Give a shout out to CornDog5 in the chat room and guest 1334. Thank you for joining us today. All right. My jaw jacking is over with now. I'm through talking, y'all. And what I want to do is bring in my co-host, who is always knowledgeable and always has a very, very enlightening view of whatever we're talking about. That's why I love her so. So without further ado, here she is, my beautiful co-host, Sister Ngoni Ao. Hello. How are you doing today?
Greetings, Eric. I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. See, I'm trying to keep it low-key right now. So I'm being low-key, so. You see how well that's working, right?
And I want you to know I appreciate you and send you brotherly love right back at you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so sweet.
I know, and I mean it sincerely, but I want to warn you, I got my full metal jacket on today.
Okay. Oh, all right, you got your full metal jacket on. Okay.
I got some grenades. You hear me?
Huh?
You got some grenades?
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Ooh.
Bring it on.
Look, make sure you don't fall on any of it now. That could be a little painful. No, okay. I just had to put that in there. I'm telling you. See, today is going to be a good day. I already see it.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. For somebody,
on another
anyway.
Note, I'm just excited to hear what the music director has put out for the family. Today is my day, Jazz Day. Remember?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, most of the time, I get to, kind of survey and see what's going on. But, you know, I didn't get that chance last night. So whatever was about to happen, it was a surprise to me as well.
I know it's going to be a wonderful one, whatever it is.
I know. I have no doubt. So, without further ado, since my beautiful co-host has basically brought it on to the front, let's get on with the Wednesday Music Mix.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, that was your Wednesday jazz mix. That was pretty smooth. I like that. That was some Boney James and Rick Braun, RSVP. Then you had Marion Meadows and Bounce. And then the last one was Najee, Laid Back. And basically that's what it was. It was laid back. Nice and smooth. You can't beat that. That's what I'm talking about. Did that meet your approval there, co-host?
Oh, the music director is my kind of people. And you know what?
What?
I hadn't heard those songs in a number of years, but I guess that the last one was Najee. I know his style. And the first one, I was just, you know, that one was really brought me back, you know, and I'm surprised it's Boney James, but I love Boney James. So, you know, that was great, a great mix. Music
All
director.
Right. Yeah, I'll let them know. All right, y'all. That was your Wednesday jazz mix, of course. Now, you know, one day I'm going to surprise y'all. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm going to surprise y'all and put my jazz mix together. I don't know. We may be dancing forever. I think I'm going to do a show on music one day. What you think about that? Just do a show on a different type of music.
That would be interesting.
I know, right? That would be very interesting. And just to see how the people react to it and what they think the song is about or if it's about anything. But, like I say, we'll work on that one. All right, y'all. It's time for your Black History Moment because this is Black History Month. And, you know, I'm just letting y'all know the different contributions that African Americans have made throughout our history. And now we're going to talk about George Washington Carver. And I know what y'all saying. We know he did all that stuff with the peanuts. Well, that is true. But are you aware that one of his contributions is the Tuskegee Institute Movable School? And he established this school to introduce modern agricultural techniques and tools to farmers in Alabama, and movable schools are now used around the world. So besides the peanuts, he actually brought that came up with that idea right there, and it was named the Tuskegee Institute Movable School. And basically the only thing is it's like you have veterinarians that move around, you know, from place to place and, you know, instruct individuals. And in this case, it was agricultural techniques. And Mr. Carver decided to go around and, you know, show people how to improve their farming. And he just made it mobile. And they call it movable now, but we call it mobile in these days. So that's all it is, a mobile school. And for those that didn't know that, that's something new for you to learn today. You know, because
I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, certain individuals, you only hear one thing, you know, because that's all they want you to know. But once you get to digging a little bit, you'd be surprised at the other stuff they have contributed to the history of this country. Okay, I'm through now. What you finna say, co-host?
Well, I was getting ready to say that's very interesting, and that was something that I learned today. And I think that it made me think about how the quality of life was, you know, in that era, in the fact that, you know, he took a school and moved it around to different communities. I think people had a more wholesome life back then. And, boy, I long for that kind of life now.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we go ahead and get our minds right, hopefully we can get back to that, you know?
I think we can. I have confidence in the human family that we can and that we will.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you do. I think my confidence is wavering a little bit with the way things are going lately. But, hey, we shall see.
I can understand that. I can understand that, but when enough people's confidence doesn't waver, then we can get the job done.
Okay. That's a good point also. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. We're going to make it happen one way or the other. One way or the other. All right, y'all, it's about that time for my co-host to drop some wisdom on us and a little knowledge also, you know, because she always comes up with some of the best quotes I've ever heard. So we're going to go ahead and move to that portion of the show. It's time for your quote of the day with my co-host, Sister Ngoni Au. Here we go.
The trouble with America is that when the dollar only earns 6% over here, then it gets restless and goes overseas to get 100%. Then the flag follows the dollar and the soldiers follow the flag.
Wow. The trouble with America is that when the dollar only earns 6% over here, then it gets restless and goes overseas and get 100%. Then the flag follows the dollar and the soldiers follow the flag. Smedley Butler. Now, that's a very, very interesting quote right there. It goes overseas to get 100% and the flag follows and the soldiers follow the flag. Okay. I'm kind of... I don't know. What is your take on that first? See if I'm headed in the right direction, because that's interesting.
Well, you know, Smedley Butler was one that was used. They thought they were going to use him to overthrow the government. So he told all about the international bankers and how they foment wars and how, you know, they make the nations use their paper currency and has no value, and they, you know, tell us lies about, you know, securing democracy and freedom around the world with bombs, and Smedley Butler just, you know, told the truth about what's been going on. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled.
We've been hoodwinked and we've been bamboozled. All righty then. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. So when they speak of soldiers, who are they particularly talking about? I know. Because it's easy to say you automatically, when you say soldiers, you think of the military. But is there a different meaning than just the military?
Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Unfortunately, in my view, no, Eric, there's no different meaning. We know that there's hired mercenaries, and we know that there's all kinds of military units, that some of them are private, some of them aren't. But I think Smedley Butler, in his day and time, what was going on at that time, was talking about the military that's used, unfortunately, around the world to do things to secure benefits for corporations when they're told that they're doing things to benefit freedom and liberty and justice and the rule of law. Smedley Butler wrote a book called War is a racket.
War is a racket. Well, there's no truer term to that one. Yeah, okay. All right. We got it now. Go ahead.
You say you got to get that book?
Yeah, I got to get that book there.
It's probably online for free, Eric. I'll go look and see for you.
All right. That'll work.
There's also a documentary online by Smedley Butler, too, that tells the story, what happened, on YouTube.
Okay. I must take a look at that. We'll take a look at that. All right, y'all. So that was our quote of the day. I told y'all, my co-host be coming up with some good ones, don't she? They be to the point, but they just knowledge, understanding. And it just tells the way things are today. And you know what? That's amazing, though, how these folk write these quotes during their time, but it just end up,
Eric,
you know, falling right into the place now. Yes, ma'am.
Corndog5 put the link in the chat room for you. He said, for Mr. Talk, war is a racket.
Okay. Well, thank you, Corndog. I appreciate that. Okay. All right. I got it. Yeah, I'm going to have to go and take a look at that. Let me go on and do my little thing here. Okay, we got it. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very much. All right. All right, y'all. Are y'all ready to get down to who really cares? We're talking about our veterans today. Let's see. Before I get started, East Coast, enjoying life. Michelle is in the house. And we got guests 1485, 1438, and 1334. And, of course, we got Corn Dog 5 there. So I want to say welcome. Welcome. And you got Wesley on the switchboard and 111. We see you too. And welcome to the show. Hope everybody is doing well. And, you know, for the everybody else out there listening, you want to join the conversation, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All one word. All right. So let's talk about these veterans out there, man. You know, being a veteran myself, I can actually testify, I guess that's a good word, as to there's problems going on with our veterans and our system as far as taking care of our veterans, because when taking care of our veterans is just not happening, okay? You know, they tell you, well, it's the organization. Let's take, for instance, the VA themselves. You know, you always hear, we're here to take care of the soldier. We're here to take care of the veteran. But in that same, oh, Lord, did somebody shoot you? What was that? But in the same token, in the same word, same sentence, they'll tell you, it's going to take this long, it's going to take that long. Now, I know we've heard over the last year or so, you know, well, we have a backlog of this and we have a backlog of that. Since we decided to allow Agent Orange in as compensation, we have, you know, the backlog has built up. Now, here's my thing. You have all these claims coming in, and you said there's a backlog. But yet, we have individuals, oh my goodness, we have individuals sitting up high in Washington that says, well, we don't need any more help. We good at where we at right now. But yet you have veterans out here that are homeless, that need that extra compensation or that extra medical care, you know, to get them, I'm not going to say in their right frame of mind, but to be in functional, you know, and that's all most veterans want, to be functional, you know, but it's crazy. And you know what? there's a large number of our veterans out there that are actually homeless. I mean, when I say homeless, I mean homeless. Now, there are some out there that's homeless, you know, not maybe for once up to 1 week or 2 weeks, but they're still homeless, right? And then you have those that choose not to live in established neighborhoods because that's all they know, and they like their freedom. They like their freedom. You know? So, now, I'm sorry, I was supposed to have a guest on today to kind of help explain some of this. But, and here's another thing, too. I'm glad I said that. The guests couldn't come on because of contractual agreements with the government, all right? In other words, they couldn't come and share any knowledge of how to help our veterans because they're being, it's said that they might leak information and that would cause a problem. You know, now here's the catch to that. They can talk to you one-on-one, but they can't talk to you in a whole group. Does that make any sense to y'all? You know, if you're going to educate or trying to help veterans, why not talk to us in a group, you know, and see what's going on? I understand, you know, once you talk to us as a group, then you break it down and start dealing with us on a personal one-on-one type level. But that doesn't happen, you know. Well, so we're still working on getting somebody on the show today. So we're going to try and work that out. And you know what I found out? There's a volunteer group, and me and my co-host was talking about this earlier today, and they're supposed to be helping the veterans. But come to find out, they are a 501c3 tax deduction category, which means what? That means the government controls what they can do, what they can say, who they can help. So how is that helping the veteran? You know, how is that helping the veteran? Of course, they say they take donations. Okay, fine. But where are the donations going? You understand what I'm saying? It's a lot of out there say we helping our veterans, but our veterans aren't getting any help. If anything, the veterans are getting worse. It's getting bad. You know, you have veterans out there that are mentally disturbed, seriously mentally disturbed and need medical attention. But due to the bureaucracy and the bull crap that you have to go through to get that help, many veterans never get that help. And that's some of the things we need to change. Of course, then again, you have knuckleheads up in Congress like Senator Paul Ryan from Wisconsin. Yeah, y'all know him, the pretty boy they tried to get to run for president. I'm going to call him a pretty boy. And, you know, now, Paul Ryan has never served an inch of military service. And this is the part that really pees me off, okay? These cats up there, they have never, most of them have never served military time. Their children haven't served military time. But yet, they're the experts on how to treat and help our veterans. And what they do, when the budget cut comes, what they want to do? They want to cut the budget for retiree pay, you know, military retiree pay. Why? But y'all sit there, but they're sitting up there getting rich, becoming millionaires. But you want to punish the retirees because y'all in a party fight with the other group. That doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. But yet, nobody's just saying anything. Nobody's doing anything about it. Okay, this is my rant and rave. I'm sorry, y'all, but that's the way I'm feeling about it. So if you got a different thought on it, give me a call, 347-838-8622. I'll say that one more time, 347-838-8622. All right? Now, CornDog5 says, veterans are heroes in wartime and pieces of blah, 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 in peacetime. And you know what, CornDog5? That's exactly how they're treated. You know, and that's the truth. That's the truth. And not even, you know, even the military themselves are the same way. You know, once you've done your time and you say, okay, whether you PCS, ETS, retired, whatever, it's over with. That you are no longer viable to any of them. None. And that's how a lot of our vets end up homeless. I remember when I was in, you know, I tried to get mental help. Oh, after like, what, 7 deployments, I tried to get help. And know what they told me? Don't worry about it. You good. Now, I have been in a war zone 7 times already and never saw any kind of psychological help or what have you. So the one time I say, yeah, maybe I need it, they tell me I'm all right. And you can keep deploying. You okay. So, and you are talking to someone that has deployed 16 times. 16. So, you know, and it's amazing how all that gets overlooked. Nobody cares. You know, our veterans out there just walking around on the streets or, you know, trying to get help, and they've been put off for 1, 2, maybe 3 years because their claims is just taking too long. Really? Really? But when Congress wants a damn raise, they don't take 2 or 3 years to get that done, do they? Heck no. When the VA wants to do something as for the headshed, they don't have a problem rushing that through, do they? So why can't we get some help for our veterans? That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm through for the moment anyway. I know I'm going to get started again. Can't y'all see this is something serious to me? I'm not playing with this. Being a veteran myself, I know the hassles and stuff you go through. And don't get me wrong, there are those individuals out there that are willing to help, you know, the veterans. But their hands are so tied also by the bull crap and the unnecessary paperwork that has to be done just to get a soldier a pencil most of the time, a veteran a pencil. That is pitiful. It really is. And it's disgusting, and we need to do something about it. Okay. All right. I'm going to calm down. Anyway, I see a couple of hands up, so let me bring a couple of my callers in. All right. Area code 561, welcome to the show. Who do I have on this line?
Elvira.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you, Miss Elvira?
I just got out of the hospital last night.
Well, good. You're at home now. Hope you're doing well.
Well, it's not that simple, but I'm alive, and I'm still trying to fight my case, and still, you know, it's just like it was in Pennsylvania, trouble with the social workers and doctors. That is something nobody should have to go through with.
That's right.
I don't have a voice. I need a voice.
Oh, okay. So you need a voice?
Yes. I don't have a voice. So by not having a voice, then these doctors and social workers are able to treat you any kind of way, and that's what's happening to me. I mean, I can't even get out to get my driver's license, nothing. I'm like with no ID. Next thing for them to do to me is, you know, my life. I'm, you know, excuse me, but I feel worse than I did when I went in the hospital, and they still trying to tag hemorrhoids and everything but what's going on with me.
Wow.
Maybe I should have called in when I'm feeling a little better, but I just, you know, I'm just out here trying to get some justice, and I can't get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that the people need to know what's happening in these hospitals, and that I'm a victim, and I've been unjustly treated, you know. I've had a toxin injected in my body, and I can't get nobody to help me get the truth.
Miss Elvira?
Yes.
Have you tried to reach out to some of the legal people that help people, you know, when they have a problem like that to represent you?
Well, that's where it all started, you know, with legal aid and the president of the NAACP. And I just went to get an apartment. That's all I wanted was an apartment. And I was living in, like, the tennis club, too. And there they had such a bad mold problem. The mold was in your food. It was in your clothes, everything. Even when you eat, you're eating mold. And it was so bad that I was protesting over it. And because I was protesting over it, I wasn't realizing that these people were trying to sell these moldy places, and they didn't want or need somebody running around and got stuck up in their window mold signs, you understand? So
yes,
what they had, so they had to get rid of me. And then when I applied for, there was a complex being built called the Venice Cove, and I was staying at the tennis club too while the Venice Cove was being built, and then I was one of the first people to get in there. And one of the managers of the building wanted an apartment for someone who lived outside of the country. And I was the likely suspect to get rid of and put her in and, you know, put me homeless. And that's how it all started. And you can't get justice when you're fighting power, when you're a little man and you're fighting with all that power, and especially when you're depending on the president of the NAACP, who does nothing but stab you in the back. You see, I guess he got more out of dumping me than protecting me.
Wow. Miss Elvira, are you a veteran yes. by chance?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I'm just a... then on top of that, my brother done sold my land out from under me. And they're trying to force me to take the money, and I'm saying I want my land, not no $2,000 for an acre of land, especially a land that's in commercial area. I can make $2,000 a month, you know. So what he did, he said he was gonna send me a check, and I told him if he sent it, I was gonna send it back to him because I didn't get permission to sell my property. And so what they did was they sent it to my son. So now they got my son threatening me to put me out to try to force me to spend that money. Once I spend that money, I'm saying that what he did was right. You see? So I'm stuck in a quagmire, don't know how to get out, and I'm sick. And I just don't know what to do. And I need a social worker, and I can't get one because if I get one, I'm going to get one like the one that was in Pennsylvania. I'm targeted by them. So what do you do when you're uneducated and you got powerful people, you know, making your life or living hell? I'm secluded. I can't get out. You know, it's just... it's a life of pure hell, you ask me. But, hey, I got to deal with it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, Miss Elvira, I'm really sorry to hear that you're struggling like you are, and I know you have been for a number of years. And I wish I could tell you something specific to help you, but unfortunately, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you to do to solve the problem.
Well,
my heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to you, but I really don't, you know, I don't know what you could do. I mean, I don't know.
It helps me just talking about it, you know, letting the world know what happened.
Yes, ma'am.
So that if it happens again, you don't turn, you know, the backs are not turned. People are listening, especially when it has to deal with our medical people. And I'm telling you what they're doing is scary. When you get a bunch of doctors in a hospital, somebody like me don't even have a high school diploma. Just imagine what they're doing to other people, you know. And they're killing off people, and people don't know how their loved ones are dying. And
yes,
I don't know why I was chosen for this task, but, hey, I hope I'm making sense.
Yes, ma'am, you are. And I saw how they did my father in the hospital. And, So I know that these things do happen, and I'm sure they're happening much more than the majority of people realize that they're happening, because they have openly stated in their white papers and in their books that, you know, they're on a project for depopulation, and, you know, that sounds unpleasant for people to hear, but they're doing it in a lot of ways, and the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors are all a part of it. And, you know, that Nazi Germany. And so I think when people wake up and realize that, you know, they don't really think about it until it hits their front door.
Right. That's what I'm trying to stop. You understand? But it seems like nobody hears my voice. And it's I'm saying, please use me, you know. Don't take my word on what I'm saying. Send me into a situation, you know, with a medical doctor and hospital, and watch what happens. That's all I'm saying. You know, so that this need to be stopped, because it really reminds me of Hitler. This is probably how he got started, you know, and with the doctors and the social work and the mental health. They are deadly to our people, to the people of this country, no matter whether you're rich or poor.
Or a veteran or not a veteran, because I remember when they closed the state hospitals and they put all those people out on the street, and that's been probably a good, what, 15 or 20 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, that happened in 06, too. I was in a position where I got tired of trying to get somebody to help me here in Florida, so I left and I went to Georgia. Once I got to Georgia, they got to the woman that I was renting the place from in Georgia, had her falsely accuse me of something. I don't know what she said, but all I know is 8 policemen appeared at the door. And here it is, I'm sick like I am right now. A lot of pain, barely can move around. And the police come and they said that she said that I had done something to her. So I said to the police, I said, look at me. Do I look like I can do what I've been accused of? So they looked at me, and all the policemen left except for 2. They said, well, we have to go by this court order. So what we'll do, they say, and you have to leave the house. So they took me from hotel to hotel till they found a place to put me. And I lost my train of thought because I'm also trying to control the pain in my body. They also, another thing that's happening, they have medication out here like Tramadol. That's a pain medication. And what that medication really do, it raises up your blood pressure, and it gives you horrible, horrible headaches. But they insist on giving me that instead of giving me what I'm used to, what my body can take. And then one thing they did do, they did stop the bleeding. The bleeding so far, so good. It has stopped. Thank you
okay.
for listening to me, and thank you for letting me talk. But I can't talk long because I don't have the wind, you know, to do that. But I can listen.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Elvira. And like Sister Ngoni to say, our hearts go out to you, and we wish you the best of luck. You know, because I don't have any answers for you either, besides just keep on pushing. Something has to go on.
Gotta
okay.
pray and hope and pray.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Before I let P. Yankee in, I see there's a comment in the chat room. This talk is crazy as hell. If there was no military, how in the hell would you sleep peacefully tonight talking all that? Well, let me answer that question. I am Mike, M-I-C, and you know who you are. I know who you are, all facts. Let me tell you something. You know, I'm glad you can sleep at night. You know why? Because there's many of our veterans out there that can't sleep at night. I'm one of them. From protecting your sorry behind every day and every night. So don't get on here talking no smack, all right? Because today is not the day, buddy. I run your head into a wall and draw blood, all right? So if you want to go there, come on. That's all I got to say. Was I too harsh then? I am so sorry. No, I'm not. All right. Anyway. Oh, co-host, you there? Are you there? Okay, she's not
yes,
there.
Yes, I'm
so
here.
Oh, okay. Did you read that comment in our chat room?
Yeah, I just sent you a PM regarding that.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, that wasn't. No, that's a different person. That's all facts. I think, yeah. I think MIC is all facts. All right. But anyway, let me bring Pianki in and see what he has to add to the conversation. I think I'm going to have to shoot him too today, but let's bring him in anyway. All right, Mr. Pianki, welcome to the show.
Well, you know, you was talking about how veterans are treated.
Yes.
And I can, you know, I've complained about that too, especially during the time of inscription.
Uh-huh.
But today's military, pardon me.
No, go ahead.
But today's military, people volunteer for that.
Well,
and
yeah.
I think that if there's no provisions in contract, because you paid mercenaries is what you really are, either paid mercenaries in action or you paid mercenaries on standby in some other capacity. But in your enrollment into today's military, don't they have provisions in the papers that you sign that stipulate that you will be taken care of in the event that you have some physical or mental ramification from you serving?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's in the contract, but that's the problem, P. Yankee. It's in there, but yet they're not honoring that. And then you have knuckleheads like Paul Ryan from Wisconsin that wants to cut retiree pay just so they can balance the damn budget. Well, I'm sure if they get rid of some of them perks that they get, that would probably balance the budget a little bit better than messing with retiree pay and the dying veteran service that they need. So, yes, it's in there, but they're not honoring it.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but retirees get their retirement cut in other industries too, especially in private industry.
Well, you know
retirees
what,
and General Motors suffered the same thing.
Now, see, here we go. Here you go. Now you wanna compare going out there getting shot at and running over landmines to a corporate? Really? Is that the same thing?
No, I was talking about the fact that retirees.
I know what you're talking about. And
money,
what I'm saying, and what
downturns.
I am saying, you know, that's fine. But they shoot. Come on now, you talking about the corporate people who making six figures, and you talking about
no,
a
I'm
soldier that barely makes it, and
you
talking about a soldier that's making what $25,000 a year? Is that comparable?
I'm talking about General Motors, for instance, assembly line workers that retired. They had to take some cuts in their pensions. Also, the city workers in Detroit doing the same thing, which I think is totally ludicrous. But, you know, those are risks you take. But I confer with you that I believe that veterans, especially the ones that that they was forced to go serve and be exposed to these battlefields and so on and so on and so on, then, yeah, they should have had some provisions where they're taken care of, but they don't do it. I had a friend of mine that went to Vietnam, and he walks up and down the street in a daze in about a 4 or 5 block area, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I refused to go. I ended up getting deferred because of business. You know, I had a business deferment, but that's just what happened. But as I said before, today's people that join the military, they're doing it on their own accord. They're not being forced.
Well, that's true. So does that mean when they get out, they shouldn't be guaranteed some kind of medical help?
Well, they should be, especially if it's written up in the paperwork, the contract that they signed when they joined in the beginning. Some of them guys take how many tours? How many tours did you say you done? 16 tours?
Yeah.
How many were they required to take?
What you mean how many were they required to take?
How many tours? You know, I've read where some soldiers come back and can go home. They say, no, I want to go back again.
No.
That's not how it works.
When the order comes down.
You remember Pat Tillman?
Yeah, I remember Pat Tillman. Yeah.
They really did do him dirty. And he forego the NFL contract to go in the military and ended up allegedly that his own buddy shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the river from me, a lady by the name of Miss Johnson, an African-American. Well, you heard what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't find justice. Her parents, from time to time, they haven't done it in a while that I know of, come out and have public forums to tell of their story. Military is another place I would never allow my children to go to unless they did it on their own.
Ooh, wow. I'm sorry, Pianki. I just got something that really shook me there for a minute. You know, but go back to the tours. You know, you don't really have an option. You know, once stuff like that pop off, it's more your number, you're going to go. I mean, I've seen people taking that were on crutches, you know, arms in slings. You going. you know. But when you get back, and here's the thing, though. Now, in the military, here's the thing. You are, dang it, let me get this right now, because I kind of lost my thought process.
Well, you know, if I could help you out a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead. Help
East
me
Coast
out.
Mentions Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
I'm still waiting on the communists to invade my block.
Oh,
they ain't came
okay.
yet.
Okay, here, this is what I wanted to say. You know, and that's the thing, but when you, you know, when you're active duty or in the military at all and you're deploying, you know, first thing they tell you is don't run to sick call, don't run to sick call, don't run to sick call, right? But as soon as you, now listen to this, as soon as you get out, now, and there's a lot of things that have happened to you in the military that you haven't gone to see the doctor about. But when you get out and go to the VA and you try and claim it, first thing they say, well, is it in your medical records? See, and that's where the problem begins. That's where a lot of veterans are ill and hurting. But since they didn't become a lingerer on sick call, and for the civilians that's going to the doctor in the military, you know, they can't get proper compensation or medical treatment for that. And that is just completely wrong. And here's the other thing. If you do want to appeal any of that, don't you know you have to go and run your own paperwork down to the prove to them that you were right in the first place? That is not necessary. That is not the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I agree to you. Workers' comp, my employees that get injured is treated a whole lot better under workers' comp. So where is the advocates for veterans? What is Obama doing?
You know what? That's a good message because, you know, when he first came in, you know, that's the big thing. I'm all about the soldier, the veteran, and the family, blah, blah, blah. But after a couple of elections, you haven't heard anything else about that. I mean, you haven't. So, you know, it's like, whatever. And like I just said, him, Paul Ryan, and this other lady, you know, they came up with this with cutting the retiree pay, and President Obama signed it. So, I mean, what? I mean, so where's his support? So, if you know, and that's one of those things, if we can't get support from the top, it's hard to do anything from the bottom. And then to top that off, oh, man, let me slow down. Okay, yeah, a lot of the volunteer groups that are supposed to help veterans, right? They are 501.
Yeah, there's a lot of volunteer groups out there too.
Yeah, but a lot
of
my 501. Yeah, but a lot of my 501c3s, which means, you know, it's certain things the government gonna let them say, and certain things they're not gonna say. Let them say certain things they're not gonna let them say or do. So once again, where's that helping our veteran? But
As I said before, I think that it's terrible the way they're treated. But then again, you know, you go in there and sit down and volunteer to go into a combat zone. Well, of course, you don't have any say-so, I guess. You know, you should make sure there's precautions in the wording of your contract that stipulate what's going to happen. And if it's not there, then there should be a movement to do away with this nonsense.
Yeah, there should be, but there, but you know, that gets shot down every chance they get, don't they? Man, don't get me started. But let me bring somebody else in here, and I hope it ain't who I think it is, because we ain't having this today, but I'm bringing him in anyway. All right, 111, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm probably that person. What's up, Eric?
Oh, hello, Mr. Solution. How are you?
I'm good. Super duper.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Pianchi hit the nail on the head regarding the veterans. Now, I have a lot of respect for the military because it treated me very, very well. But he's right. The military treats a lot of people as wastage. If you can't make your way, sail your own ship in the military, and you have to do it gingerly because they're such an authoritarian organization. But if you're pretty sharp and connect yourself with the right people, you can do really well. And look, when you go to war, all bets are pretty much off because war resets your whole psyche. It makes you crazy. Now, I think First Blood would be a good documentary example of that. I hope I'm citing the one where you had Richard Kramer.
Yes,
and,
yes, I know. Yeah, that
you,
was
you
the first one.
You had Rocky or Sylvester Stallone. Do you recall
that?
Yeah, that
was
that?
A good one.
Yes,
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, but what he said was most important. You saw how the officer came out, and some officers get injured and killed too, but for the most part, they're treated much better, and they have many more options. And so did you see do you recall the dialogue that Rocky had with the colonel? He says, "Look, I can't even get a job at a car wash. I've operated multi-million dollar equipment in the military, but when I come out of the military, there's nothing for me to do. I'm just basically wastage. I'm trash. I'm garbage." And that was very, very insightful, and it's very true. So if you're in the military, I don't recommend, you know, being disrespectful or anything like that. But you make sure you get the contract you want, you do what you want to do, and if things don't go your way, you get the hell out. There are ways to get out. And so but it's a great organization. I've said before, you and we did a show once encouraging people who don't have anything. If you don't have anything, any wealth, let's just be clear, then the military is a decent option, or certainly it can be, with mm-hmm. in terms of discipline and you know, opportunities. But it will waste you. It'll grind you up like powder and spit you out. There's no doubt about that. Does that make sense? Do you follow that?
Yeah, you're actually making sense. You really are.
You can't go into the military, even though, let me just finish this thought, if I may, if you don't mind. May I?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
You can't go into the military expecting the military to protect you, because it won't. It will not. You have to be the ultimate protector of yourself, and I mean that in every way. So a lot of people go into the military just depending on it, and it just, you know, it chews you up and throws you to the side. It is known for that.
Yes, it is, and it's even more now that they're trying to cut the budget and everything, you know. And you know, little as has been said, the military is actually cutting back now also. So they're beginning to
put
a lot of individuals out, you know.
And that's right.
You know, that's the thing. It happens after every major conflict. You know, they say, okay, we need to slim down, downsize, you know, and they put them on the street. They don't care. They put them on the street. And then once they're on the street,
they have nothing going on. They actually cut the salary of the military. It was the retirees, correct?
Right.
Did that pass through?
They signed it. It's supposed to take effect 2015.
So how much?
I think you said right now it's like 1%, but it's supposed to save
That's horrible.
You know, but it's supposed to save them like $83 million over the long run, or some mess they were saying. You know,
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go on record saying that is horrible, and that is a definitive depiction of what I just shared with you. For them to cut the pay of retirees, it's across the board. I mean, just a 1% cut across the board.
Yes.
Damn. Well, that proves the point.
Let me ask you something, Eric. If you retire, you spend 20 years in the service, and you 20, 30 years, say, how soon can you collect that retirement?
Oh, as soon as the month after you retire. Now, it's different in the reserves. Now, that's active duty. In the reserves, it's like 62 or 65. You know, because you just going, you know, 2 weekends out of the month. But on active duty, a month after you retire, you start collecting your pay. And actually, to be honest, a lot of veterans live off that. You know.
And they go and do some other things too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, for the ones that can, yes.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and Richard, you probably will attest to this, that the military was an excellent place in order to gain skills, especially the Navy, at one time.
Yes. It still is.
Yeah, well, you know, I still say it's a great place. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of people went into the military to get skills, and this started with the war, Iraqi Freedom, Desert Storm, yes. And see, a lot of people were in there to get the military benefits. They didn't expect a war to break out, but it did. And it just kind of caught them, you know, off guard. And they pretty much had to go. They didn't know how to get out. You can always get out of the military with an honorable discharge, but you've got to know how to do it. You can't just do it. There's a process. But a lot of people obviously didn't know, you know, how to exit. It caught them off guard, and they had to end up going to war. They never expected to do that. I've talked to many people that verified that. And so, you know, but that's the problem. But it still is an excellent place. The military has everything. In fact, they have the best of everything. And if you go into the military, you get your contract, make sure you don't get euchred and bamboozled at that particular stage. You can even have an attorney look over it. And whatever contract you get, they have to honor that contract. And so that you, but you want to make sure you get a contract. But it's an excellent place. I still recommend it. We did that about a year ago, Eric. We recommend to young men and young women to go into the military. And there are certain branches of the military where you lessen your risk of injury, of serious bodily injury or death. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Eric?
Yes, I do. I do. I really do. You know,
so do you have no choices when you enroll?
And be protected.
Say what, Pianki?
Do you have those choices when you enroll with a recruiter?
Yes.
What kind of choices?
That's what I was just saying.
What kind of job you want?
To stay out of hot jobs. Yeah, stay out of battlefields.
Okay,
right.
Well, let me explain it to you. At one time, yes, you did, but the way it's set up now, there's no way you're going to avoid that. I don't care what you decide you're going to go into. There's no way you're going to avoid going somewhere and being in a combat zone. Because what they're doing, they're taking the lower echelon MOSs, which is jobs for the civilian people, and they're kind of infusing them into, you know, like the infantry and what have you, so to increase manpower to go out and do the dangerous jobs. So, I mean, you can.
But wait a minute, Eric. That's a contradiction.
Yes. No? Is it?
We just said there are certain branches of the military that pose less risk to serious bodily harm
right.
or death.
Right.
Okay, so choose those.
Well, now, the top pay recipients are your officers in the military, correct?
Yes.
And they have officer training. Like, I guess that's West Point, is it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but all officers don't come from West Point.
Right. Some of them,
now,
you can migrate into the officer realm by being a non-commissioned officer. You can also be a warrant officer and become an officer. There are a number of ways to become an officer. See, the thing of it is the military will pay for your education. They'll pay for a skilled education. Now, often you have to give them time back, but if you choose the right, like say for example, most of your pilots come out of the military. Would you agree with that, Eric? Most of you, the commercial pilots come from the military.
Right.
Because
I
the training, pilot training is very expensive, and most people can't afford it.
Just like a lot of the doctors do the same thing. But,
bingo, yes. I met some doctors who – actually, I met a doctor who gave up his private practice and came in the military.
Well, what type of pay are we talking about retiring? We talk about in dollars, and what level do one have to achieve? And also, what's the time frame of achieving that level?
What? Oh, you want to go? Eric, go ahead.
Well, once again, that depends on your rank and how long you've been in. Let's say a colonel, you know, his retirement will come in around 57,000.
Is that a year or a month?
That's a year.
You remember the black general that was over Afrikaan, Richard, and he got he was found to have been involved in some improprieties, and they had made mention that it would cost him about $5,000 a month in loss of salary. Retirement,
well, they
should
can
I
make five, but you said 57,000. Sure, they can.
I didn't know.
I think he would have got
25,000. He got dropped down to like 20 or 20. And he dropped down to 15,000 per month.
Well, see,
yeah,
you know what
can make good money? Not at the lower ranks. The lower ranks,
right.
A lot of them have to get public assistance. But if you actually go ahead, you have a comment on that, Eric?
Yeah, well, what I was also going to say, what you have to realize, Pianki, when it comes to the enlisted and the officers, it's a whole different world. See, because why the officers are in, you know, they have their little, how can I say, groups or lookouts to where, you know, they get investment guidance. Yes. See, and they're taught how to put, you know, save this and invest in that. As far as the enlisted, you know, if you're not with someone that knows or is willing to help you do that, you're on your own. So many times the officers, when an officer gets out, he or she already has a corporate job lined up. You know, they're not really worried about that. But when an enlisted get out, you know, most of them are getting out without a job. You know, no way to do anything.
That's their fault, though. Actually, the military has an excellent transition system. But see, this goes back, Eric, to what we said just a moment ago, if you can hear me. A person has to be ultimately responsible for themselves. The military has some aides to assist the enlisted people. But you have to be very aggressive. You have to hang out with the officers. I mean, I know they have a fraternization policy, no fraternization policy, crapola. But see, one has to show themselves exemplary. And if you connect with the right people, you carry yourself well, you don't have to kiss a lot of ass. Now, the military is a little bit different. It's a unique organism. But if you do that, there are opportunities. Now, Obama did do a lot of things for the military. If you get a decent education, which you can, and Eric, you and I stated that if you play your options properly, if one plays their options properly, they can actually go to school a half day and sometimes full time. You can bump that up to almost full time. So you're getting a paycheck, and at the same time, you're going to school now, and you have to stay at a certain grade level, which is only appropriate. But the military has great benefits. One just has to avail themselves of those benefits. Would you agree with that, Eric?
That is a very true statement. That is a true statement. Let's see. I got somebody on the line here that, I got about two or three people want to come in, so let me see if I can get them in here. Then I got a guest that's going to come in here. Hold on. I don't know what that was, but that was crazy.
Might have been veterans pay.
That's what that was. Okay. Anyway, so let's see. We're going to try this again. Let's try this one, because that one was crazy. 813, welcome to the show. Oh,
this is your host.
Yes, I see it now.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Did you get that, what you call it, that feedback then?
Yes, I can hear the feedback.
Okay. Michael,
I still hear.
Okay. Michael, you there? All facts?
Yeah, I'm muted. I'm unmuted.
Yes, you unmuted.
Wow. Well, first of all, why you keep me out of the chat room, Mr. Tuff? I was talking some real stuff.
I didn't kick you out, but apparently you needed to be if you got kicked out. But I didn't do it.
Well, whoever kicked me out, something is wrong with your mind. Don't do that. Well, first of all, I want to reiterate my statement.
Yeah, reiterate your statement.
I don't know why you said, right, because I don't know why you jumped on me. First of all, I'm an honorable discharged veteran. I serve honorably for this country. That's a fact. I say again, I would not sleep peacefully tonight, factually, to none of us on this phone, if it was not for the low, middle class, the poor, the low-income people who defend this country. That's a fact. That's what I said, Mr. Talk. So I don't know, and that's a fact. I don't know what you were talking about. I wasn't saying about you can't sleep at night. No. If a veteran has PTSD and they defended this country for whatever means, because you can't demean the soldier, you have to demean the politician who sends them. Every country from ancient times to now has to have a military.
Hold on, hold on. Let me slow you down. People. Let me slow you down right now. Let me slow you down.
Okay.
Didn't nobody demean any soldiers. Hell, I'm a veteran. And what I said was this. All right. Number one, I didn't demean. I said the government needs to do more to help our soldiers as they get out. That's what I said. And what I said to you said, listen. Now, what I also said was that I'm glad you can sleep at night because there's many veterans out there that cannot sleep at night. I am one of them. So don't tell me you glad that you can I sleep at night because you have no idea what the hell you talk about. You probably was in administration when you was in, Michael, so I don't think you know what you're really talking about. Don't get me. Boy, it's going to get ugly in a minute. All right. But go ahead.
And another,
I don't really care. Yes.
Another thing, Mr. Michael, you better be careful about when you make comments about somebody's mind, okay?
Well, first of all, how can y'all, first of all, Mr. Tall, you don't know about my military service. I would never indulge in my military background for you because you're going to demean me anyway. In the comments, you said that I must have been slightly absent. Listen, there's many soldiers.
Hold on.
For you to say that there's many soldiers who's diagnosed for PTSD.
Okay. Next. Got time for that today, and I told you. Okay, let me bring this other one in. May.
What in the world is going on?
I don't know. That was the wrong one. I don't know what's going on. Those two lines must be hit together or something. Yeah, so we just going to get this. Really?
Yeah, because like when you have Verizon, if you, like all my stuff goes through the router, the ISP, you know, the home phone, 9 yards,
right.
It goes through there. And when somebody else is on the computer, I had to unplug the phone to finally that other person had to actually log off of Blog Talk Radio to clear my line.
Wow. Oh, mm-hmm. Well. But they're going to have to do that. All right. I think we lost him. So let me bring in – I mean, there are things a soldier can do prior to getting out that as far as getting help and stuff like that. And there are individuals out there that are willing to help them, you know, I mean, without a doubt. And so I'm going to bring a guest in that can help us, you know, give us some information as far as what are some of the things they can do? So let me see if I can get them on the air here. Hello, ma'am. 512, welcome to the show. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, hello? This is Miss Rainey.
I'm sorry, can we get your name again, ma'am?
This is Miss Rainey.
Hey, Miss Rainey, and I understand that you work with soldiers preparing them for the VA. To get out of the military?
Yes. Actually, I've been working with soldiers for the past 5-6 years. I started out at the VA regional office in Waco, Texas, and now I work on Fort Hood. And actually, this is a better position for me because not only am I working with veterans, but I'm working with soldiers and helping them to prepare for the transition into the civilian world. So what we do on here on Fort Hood, when soldiers have a disability that that where they're not able to perform in their primary MOS, they go through what is called the Medical Evaluation Board. Mm-hmm. And for those conditions that limit them from doing their primary MOS, they're evaluated on both the VA side and the Army side. So it's a dual process. And throughout this whole process, they are going through medical evaluations to see if they're still retainable, or if they are no longer retainable, then they will have to start out processing into the out into the civilian world. So it is a really, really good streamlined process, because I know nowadays when people are retiring or they get out the military, they file a VA claim, they have to wait about two and a half years before they even get a answer from the VA. Here we have a dual process where when a soldier gets out, they have their military retirement, they have their VA disability compensation rating, and they are able to transition into the civilian world.
Well, you know, I think I've heard you before, and I really commend the service that you're providing for military people. Quite obvious, there some of them may be debilitated, and some of them may have some problems. But I don't know how you got involved in that, but I think it's a very good service you provide.
Yes, it is, and it helps because not only are they working with the VA and the doctors on the Army side in our department, but we also engage a lot of other people. We have legal working with us because the soldiers have rights. You know, this is their life. They're getting ready to get out the military. So when they are being evaluated by the doctors, they get an opportunity throughout the process to go seek legal guidance. And then we have AW2 who helps soldiers with their transition. And then we have other people that come in and also give them additional information as well. So I think over the last 3 or 4 years, the whole transition process has greatly improved, because before soldiers did get out and they were totally clueless as to their benefits. But now we've listened because we've heard the complaints, and we've put a lot of opportunities in place so that soldiers are no longer clueless when they get out. Now, one thing that soldiers have to remember is that, you know, we can give you the information, but there are some things that, you know, soldiers need to research and find out, you know, and do the research on their own. Like, I get a lot of soldiers saying, okay, I filed a claim, a disability claim. Where is my claim at in the process? You know, and I tell them, well, we provided you a tool. You have e-benefits. You can log on to e-benefits to find out where your claim is in the process. So yeah,
can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Now, who funds your operation? Because it sounds as if the things that you're involved in is timely and costly.
No, it's not. I'm part of DOD. I'm part of the Department of Defense.
Okay, so the Department of Defense actually did set up this outlet. Now, why does it take, without your service, why does it take so long for these individuals to receive the due treatment that they should have coming to them?
Are you talking about their VA disability claim?
Yes, and you mentioned about it takes anywhere from 1.5 to 2 years in order to get a response.
Let me give you a little history. Okay. Back in 2010, 2010, I started working for the VA. The VA hired about 100 additional, they put in place 100 positions at the Waco Regional Office. And these positions were basically focusing on the NEMR claims. We were regulated by legislation to go back, and all the veterans that were served in Vietnam War, we had to go back and address certain claim conditions that were not addressed before. So they hired 100 people, and to be perfectly honest, to this day, the VA is still trying to play catch-up. But the whole focus was that we had to take, I'm going to throw a ball game figure out there, about 100,000 claims out there and give them back pay. And that took us a few years to do that, about 2 or 3 years before we finished with those NEMA claims. Meanwhile, it slowed everybody else's claim up. So now the VA is trying to play catch up. Their goal is to get to a point to where they can actually process a claim from start to finish within 120 days. Not saying
they're working. That is kind of ridiculous right there too. But you know, let's go back to Vietnam. I was a teenager coming up in Vietnam, and you mean to tell me, are you saying to me that you have Vietnam vets who came back with all sorts of problems? My wife's husband, he came back from Vietnam, and she had to take him out the house because of a lot of reasons. And I mentioned before, I had another friend. He just bought a brand new 1964 Chevy Super Sport convertible, and they called him into the service. And he came back. His mind's messed up. He's walking up and down the street back and forth in all kind of crazy-looking clothes. You mean to tell me that you still have those claims that have not been settled yet?
No. All of NEMA claims, the ones that we had to go back and re-adjudicate, they've been completed for the most part. A lot of them have been completed. There were only five conditions that we did not presume as presumptive conditions of Vietnam War that we had to go back and re-adjudicate. That has been completed. Now, one thing that I advise my soldiers today, I tell them, treatment, treatment, treatment. Continue to seek treatment. And when you continue to seek treatment, make sure that when you do continue to seek treatment, there is a diagnosis. Because that's how they're going to be evaluated. I mean, I do feel sorry for those soldiers out there who are walking around who may have some behavioral health conditions, but they haven't sought treatment. They don't trust the VA hospital. But when actually the VA hospital is there to help, and when we have a diagnosis, then we can actually rate you for those conditions and compensate you for those conditions. You know, I have a soldier who came in here the other day. He told me he doesn't go to counseling. He don't take medication. So then how are we to evaluate your condition to see how severe it is so that we can give you a fair rating?
Well, how did he how did he know what type of medication to take in the first place? Is this something, a decision he made on his own?
No. He chooses himself not to seek any kind of treatment, which means he don't even go to the VA hospital at all. You know, when you actually go to a VA doctor, the doctor will evaluate your condition and put you on the appropriate medication to help with your condition. We take that information at the VA level and we say, okay, for this condition, you are on this kind of medication. This is how, you know, your life, your daily life activity is affected. And for this condition and this severity, this is how we're going to rate you. And we give you a percentage rating according to how severe your condition is. Without any kind of medical documentation, any kind of diagnosis, we can't fairly diagnose you with it and give you a fair rating.
All right. That's, boy, I tell you, that's a whole lot. Well, I have a veteran on the line, Veteran Bob, and we're going to bring Maze in also, and they may have some questions for you, Miss Rainey. Welcome to the show, Veteran Bob, and hello, Maze.
Miss Rainey, I want to thank you so very much to educate people that's very uneducated about the military that never stepped foot in there and seen it. And the veterans, could you tell about what they're doing for the veterans now with the education system or what they can do for some of those that don't know?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not really versed on the VOC rehab, but one thing I do know is that when a soldier gets out, he files a claim. He comes, at least he gets a rating.
Okay, well, our call, we lost our...
Yep, I don't hear anything.
Somebody messing up the switchboard, don't know what they're doing, I think.
But anyway...
Yeah, maybe they need to get back in the military.
And it's just like, Pianki, when you go do Social Security, the same thing. You don't go get Social Security just at the moment that you go to the place to pick it up either, do you? You got to wait for a while, and then you got to go...
No, they tell you... I guess you could say that. They tell you...
It's just like that.
To apply 6 months before you're eligible.
When in that 6 months, if you're eligible, if something happened to you, you have a stroke or something, you can't apply 6 months. And then you got to wait almost a year, 2 years, or whatever, until they... done with the paperwork. It's no difference.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, the thing I was saying,
Wait a minute,
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute,
go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
What I was saying was I'm a Marine. She keeps saying soldier.
Well,
that's a joke. That's a
well,
joke.
The force is in. All of them.
But I've been under VA care since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Vietnam in 66 and had my knee operated on in 1970. And it was that year also that I began my GI training to become a commercial pilot. So they've done poured $10,000 into me to train me as a commercial pilot. I became a private pilot, but my right ear went out, so that ended the whole program. Believe it. But what I wanted to say was I've been going over to the VA hospital at Castle Point in New York, right on the Hudson River. And what surprised me, my last paycheck, I'm still working at my age. I've orbited the sun 68 times now, but I'm still working. What's that?
No, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that I orbited the sun 68 times, and I'm still working at West Point. I work in the cadet mess there that prepares the food for the 4,400 cadets. So my right knee gave out once in a while, so I went to the VA. But what happened one day when a doctor gave me a test, she told me that I have diabetes. I said, wow. So anyway, through the last couple of years of treatments and all, you get this statement in the mail from the VA that I owe so much money. I said, well, I believe it now because I don't believe in health insurance. I think it's a waste of money. But anyway, they went into my social security check and took the money out. And the VA told me that all federal agencies have the right to attach the social security. And I said, wow, you mean you take care of my right knee because I have 10% compensation. I get $129 a month for my right knee compensation. You mean anything else I'm paying for? And they say, yep. I wasn't told that in the beginning there. It was piling up. The bill kept piling up. So I guess the VA, there must be some sort of mandate out there that's telling VA to go get their money. So they done got mine, and of course my landlord's a little upset and other people too. But
why did they attach your Social Security? I'm not clear on that.
Because you're not telling the truth.
They go right in, take out what they want, and then leave you to rest, you know, leave you to crumbs. So I personally, I think that's wrong that they do it like that, that they should be limited how much they take out. I have no idea what rate I'm being charged at all. So they're going to get me now and probably hundreds of thousands of veterans the same way. I mean, the VA is definitely a for-profit organization. That's the way
so
I see
they,
it.
They was charging you for the treatment that you were receiving on your knee?
No. That's 100% covered.
Okay.
That's 100%. But, you know, the VA is... They're going after money. Didn't care about us. I just wanted to, you know, I was going to mention that to the lady that called in, you know. You know, all of a sudden the VA is taking money out of people's Social Security checks.
Mm.
They're
you know,
like the,
that, You know, that's just absolutely crazy. But that is some of the things that the VA has done. We have our guest, Miss Rainey, back. So I want to say welcome back. Okay.
Yes.
But, sir, can you mention that to Miss Rainey? Can you mention that to Miss Rainey?
Can
yes,
you hear
she's
me?
Heard you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Here's one thing I want to say about the recouping of money. I know that if you are not over at least 50% disabled, that you are responsible for any kind of medication that you receive from the VA that is not related to your service-connected disabilities. So did everybody get that?
Yes.
If you are not at least 50%, you have to pay for any medication you get not related to your service-connected disability. So me, personally, I'm not 50%, so I have to pay for any medication I get for my that's not related to my respiratory condition. And if I don't pay that bill, now what they do, they garnish and they take it out of my disability check. I have not heard anything about they going after your Social Security. Mm-hmm. But
they got me.
Well, they will go after your Social Security, but they can only take so much of it, like 15%, I think.
But government is government. But one thing that they will do is if you do not pay your bill, they will notify you in writing. So before they take any money out, you should have been notified in writing.
I did.
Of the amount of money that you did
receive.
She
keep putting me on mute.
But
I mean, I'm going to be having a sidekick call on the phone, asking what's wrong with her.
Yeah. I got the letter in the P.O. box.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the P.O. box, I didn't check it for a couple of months, so I didn't see the letter till after the fact. And then I was totally, totally surprised that anybody would take money out of anyone's Social Security check.
Yeah, it's such
unbelievable, because those are wages, at least half of them were wages from oh God, from 64 when I started working and went to Vietnam and all that stuff. I mean, from 64, you know, building up. And they just go right in and say, the hell with what you did. We want your money.
Yeah, I
think that's more than proactive, don't you think? I think they're using the word proactive in their vocabulary, making those meetings they must have. Don't you think it's too much? I mean, good God. That from past work, not current, you know?
Okay,
it's,
sir.
It's a shame. Yeah.
I have a recommendation. So you say you only have 10% for your knee, and you have diabetes, right? Well, you are aware that you can file a claim for that diabetes.
No,
also,
I'm not aware of that.
Yes.
They want me to stop working. My doctor wants me to quit working. I've been released to go to work. I was out for 5 months one time. She wouldn't release me to work. Then I went to work for 1 month. Then I was out for 3 months. The legs blew up again. And then I went back to work another month. And then it's been going on 5 times. And then my paycheck, I'm afraid to show. I'm afraid to look at my W-2. I mean, it's under 20K. I'm ashamed of myself. You know? It's under 20K. Yeah, and they're still taken out of my Social Security. They're double-stabbing me. Yeah.
Yes, who's coming?
One thing I wanted to say is that for the diabetes condition, he can file a claim for diabetes. However, they're going to look at his service treatment records, and they're going to go back, and if he does not have any kind of clinical notes stating that he was seen for diabetes and that he was diagnosed with diabetes while he was in the service, then he may not be able to get any kind of compensation for it.
Well, she would have mentioned something, okay. She's been there a long time. She's a very good primary doctor. But the thing is, I just had a recent one, been out for 3 weeks. So I'm supposed to go back to work tomorrow, but doctor hasn't given me a note yet. How am I going back to work if I don't? You know, it's killing me. So I got the VA taking money out of my Social Security check. My landlord's going crazy. She's going, hey, Bob, you've been out almost a year and a half in the last 2 years. I can only hold on so long. You know.
All right.
Yeah. So, wow. So that lady, you know, she had quite a story there. But there's a lot going on. Another veteran said that his Social Security has been attached. Now, they're not touching my monthly. They're not. I get $129, that 10%. So it's $129. Just, it's been going up over the years. And I don't. What percentage you getting, ma'am? Getting 50%?
No, I'm under 50%. I don't get 50%. Yeah.
Well, what has to happen for your knee?
What happened
before you get 50? What do your knee have to go through for you to get 50%? Be totally off your body, laying on the ground?
A knee will not get you 50% unless you lose your bottom leg. Unless you lose the bottom leg. I'm still walking, but they give me 10% because it blows up. It's fluid.
Okay. Hold on.
Agent Orange?
Hold on, Pianki. Let Ms. Rainey get in here to kind of clarify what about the knee. Go ahead, Ms. Rainey.
Okay. Now, your knee condition is based on the severity of it, okay? And that depends on what the rating is. Now, say, for instance, you have a knee injury, and they give you 10% for it initially. Then later on, it starts bothering you, and you go back, you find out you have arthritis in that knee. Then you can file an increase to increase it because arthritis has set in. Then you go back because you can no longer bend your knee as far as you used to be able to bend your knee. You can't stoop down or do some of the things you used to be able to do. That's when they're going to do a range of motion on your knee. They're going to determine what angle and how far you can bend it. Then they're going to determine your knee has gotten worse, so you can file another claim for increase, and you may be granted additional percentage depending on, you know, the range of motion. So, yeah, the knee condition can start out at 10%, but, sir, what year did you get that 10% rating for your knee?
I had three operations beginning in 1970. The first operation was down in Norfolk. The second and third operations was at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. And the knee was so bad, they wouldn't allow me to walk on my leg for 90 days. That's how bad it was, 90 days. They had to give me Demerol to keep me asleep, you know, the first week. It was so painful. But what it was is not a bullet wound, anything. It was a growth that came up inside the knee called villonodular synovitis. Nodules grow on hair that grows on the synovium that supplies fluid to the knee. Well, they scraped it all out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got no synovium in my right knee. But I've been working. I've been working ever since. It's just that once in a while it blows up the fluid and they got to stick the needle in. It's not a very nice thing. When those needles hit your bones, you know what I mean? So
And
I can walk at any time. Anytime into a VA, and they'll just stick the needle in that knee, get the fluid out.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why they give me 10%.
Okay, next time, sir, you go into the VA hospital, I'm going to recommend that you sit down and talk to one of our service centers, and you can get with, I don't know if you have TWC or Disabled Veterans DAV. They can help you file a claim for increase because they need to reevaluate that knee.
Well, with the money coming out of my Social Security check now, because the VA is so greedy now, they want all the money, it's a reduced income. They want me to retire from West Point. The work wants me to retire because they hate to see me come back to work for a month and then all of a sudden the legs blow up. I can't walk. my job requires standing. It's a very, it's not too tough a job. It's just physically demanding. And tried to, you know, it's something that I don't like going through. But with this diabetes coming up 2 years ago, it was a total shock. I had no idea the bills were piling up. Yeah.
And we have a question for the lady that has the answers. Could that be asked by her? Since she knows how to help people, and you do have people that need help.
Hello? Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what she's there for.
Okay.
To get answers for people that need help.
Right.
Oh,
so, that's what I'm going to recommend to you, and especially regarding that diabetes. Did you, if you did time in Vietnam, you can definitely put that, add that on the claim, see if they can go ahead and grant you that, because back in Vietnam, they were exposed to Agent Orange. Diabetes may be one of those presumptive conditions that resulted from that. So I would definitely suggest you to go and talk to one of the service centers and have a claim put in for that so they can just go ahead and start working on it ASAP, okay?
Well,
and also,
can't
you lose your benefits if you get your knee operated on and get it fixed, and that'll take away from your benefits?
It depends. It depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can work against you, but we're working with 10% here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he was rated at 80 or 90% and he had surgery on his knee and it improved, then he could probably go down. But we're only working with 10% here. So it depends. I don't think they'd mess with that.
Well, you know,
what kind of educational benefits they have for the soldiers that's out there now where they can go to school and they pay them to go to school?
I was talking about
that
before I was disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Voc Rehab is a really good program. If you have at least 10%, if you're rated 10% disabled, they're going to send you to paperwork with that rating, and it'll provide you information on how you can contact and apply for Voc Rehab. Voc Rehab will go ahead and give you benefits such as pay for your tuition, your books. I've even seen some people get computers, and you may be entitled to a monthly benefit.
Well, I'm already receiving benefits, and I doubt they're going to pay my cable bill. You know, I doubt that, or internet bill.
No, this is for Voc Rehab.
Yeah.
Rehab. I'm working.
Yeah, this is strictly for educational benefits.
Educational? Yeah, I'm too old to go to school, right?
This is for educational benefits. Yeah.
I mean,
so
I'm 68.
You have to be at least labeled as 10% disabled in order to even be eligible to apply for the benefits. I've seen some people that who've been labeled as disabled, but they're at 0%. But if you're at least 10% or more, then you can definitely apply for those vocational rehabilitation benefits that will reimburse you for any kind of educational expenses.
Can you explain about
the children, if you have children and you get disability, did your children get disability until the age of what?
I believe it's 26.
Uh-huh.
But don't hold me to that, but I believe it is 26.
21, I think.
Oh, you, wait a minute, hold
they
on.
Have to give the ID
you,
card.
Are you talking about the education?
The education, yeah, because
if they're in school, it's up to 26. Well, no, that's the insurance, though. That is the insurance. But
what's
as far as education,
we're gonna have to table that one and check and see.
Hold on. I got another caller want to come in, so let me welcome Erica to the show.
I'm just keeping you from talking.
Hello, Erica. How are you today?
I'm good. I just want to make a comment about the education portion for your dependents.
Uh-huh.
It is up until you are age 26. But that is only dependent if you're rated at 100% and they're eligible to receive the Chapter 33 benefits.
Yeah.
Well, I understand with a 100% rating on your knee, the bottom part of your leg got to be gone.
You don't get no 100% rating on your knee.
Oh, okay.
The lady just explained it to you, Pionki. It's different parts of your body.
Not well, your knee is part of your body.
Well, it could be what is it, both knees and an arm and a leg. Or if you have sleep acne, you get ready for that too. All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Might as well
are you two through? Are you two through now?
I'm just explaining since he don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Now, I sure don't know nothing about it. I appreciate you explaining.
Well, what I'm saying, I have two people on this line that do this on a daily basis, so can y'all let them explain, please?
I'm asking the lady questions that people don't really know.
Oh, anyway. All right.
I'll talk to you all tomorrow, Ms. Tuck, because you got a guest, and I'll let you have your guest, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Because I'm going to get y'all to put on mute. Okay.
All right. Bye. All right. So is there any further questions for my guest?
Yeah.
Well, I
have one more. I have one more.
Okay. Go ahead, Virtual Bob.
Should I get health insurance? I hate it. I hate hospitals. I hate being sick. Tell me this darn diabetes that's messing me up now. I mean, if I had health insurance, would that help them stop taking money out of my Social Security? I'm furious about that. I think it's wrong, you know. But, hey, will my having insurance help reduce them taking money out? What goes with that?
Should they still be taking money out of your Social Security?
Yeah. It's a running bill. Diabetes is expensive.
Oh, so they're treating you for diabetes and they're charging you that way. Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
They should only be charging him for the medication, though.
Yeah.
It is expensive. I'm taking 6 pills every day.
Yeah, it's the medication.
Yeah.
And doctor visits, office visits, all that.
So
are you
entitled to Medicaid?
So what will help that gentleman is, like Ms. Rainey stated, you need to file a claim for diabetes. And once you are service-connected for that, then they will stop taking money out of your Social Security check.
Really?
Yes.
Based on the fact he was exposed to Agent Orange.
Well, based on the fact that it's presumptive from his service, from his time in service.
I was there in 66. Yeah, they were pouring Agent Orange all over the place. I was in.
I would try that, sir, if I was you.
Well, somebody booked at me.
Before you go out and spend any additional money trying to get any additional insurance, go that route first.
I refuse to get insurance.
File a claim for diabetes and say that you were diagnosed with diabetes. And that it is, you were in Vietnam, and you were there, and you were exposed to Agent Orange. As long as we can validate that, and it's on your, I think it's your 2-1 that says that you were in Vietnam during those particular dates and times, then you can qualify.
Yeah, but
you know
I can't
something
prove
else, sir.
That I was exposed. I mean, you know, when I was homeless. I was homeless in 97. I was homeless 5 years, and I was at the infamous, I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but the city of New York had a shelter up in Orange County called LaGuardia, a 1,001-man shelter. And one of the guys looked in my eyes one day. He said, Bob, let me tell you something. I'm looking right dead in your eyes, and you have PTSD. And I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. I said, well, 3 psychologists have checked me out, or psychiatrists, whatever they were, and said I didn't have it. And here you're looking dead in my eyes, and you telling me I got PTSD? Oh, yeah. They just don't want to pay you.
Well, see, you know what that was? During that time, they probably, you know, at one time, the VA really didn't recognize PTSD as an illness. So, and you know, at that time they were told, you know, instead of diagnosing it as PTSD, they called it readjustment illness or something like that.
Yeah,
but now,
like
you know,
that, yeah.
Yeah, they have gone and changed it now to where PTSD is an accepted diagnosis. So you may want to go back and have that, you know, revisited also.
Well, I was there from June of 66 to July of 67. and that was the heavy time of the Agent Orange.
Well, are you able, are you qualified for Medicaid or are you even, pardon me?
No, I'm working.
Oh, okay.
I'm working.
Well, you know, there's clinics. I don't know what city you're in. You're
in
but there's
Newburgh. Yeah, I'm 11 miles north of West Point where I work.
There's these comprehensive clinics that's in cities where you can go in and you can receive medicine. Sometimes you can qualify for medicine free, and they charge you on a sliding scale, which would probably save you money from what they're taking from you and your Social Security.
Yeah, but why? You know, that's the only thing. I can't understand why anyone would go in somebody's Social Security job. I mean, that's so ridiculous.
They do it because they can.
Yeah, that's your, let me not get started. Hold on, y'all, before y'all say anything else. All right, we got 6 minutes left in the show.
Let me get
in order. All right, in order for y'all to listen, continue to listen live, give us a call, 347-838-8622. I want to also thank Ms. Rainey and Erica for calling in out of their busy day to help clarify some information that I know a lot of us had answers, questions to. So I want to go ahead and say thank them. I want to thank them, give them some love. And then I want to take this moment to get their final words before I let them go, because I know it's about time for them to get off. So, Ms. Rainey, what would be the most important thing you would tell veterans or soldiers preparing to get out?
Don't forget the Marines.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is across the board. While you're in the military, we just advise that you go seek treatment and make sure you have a diagnosis for those conditions that you want to claim when you get out, and make sure that you have documentation to prove your case, because that's the only way we're going to be able to rate you is with that medical documentation. Very, very important. And it's just not all about the documentation, but it's about the diagnosis, because unless you have a diagnosis that says you have been diagnosed with PTSD, you have been diagnosed with arthritis, you've been diagnosed with diabetes, then really we cannot substantiate your case. So diagnosis is definitely a major, major, major key.
Well, I was never diagnosed with diabetes in the military.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Erica, your final words?
Yes, I would just like to say that keep in mind it's never too late to file a claim. It doesn't matter how long you've been out. You need to file a claim. Now, you're saying the guy said he wasn't diagnosed with it in the military. It doesn't matter. Still, go file a claim. That's the most important thing. Along with everything else that Ms. Rainey has stated, go file a claim. It's never too late.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And you have a great, great day. All right.
Thank you.
Merci. You're welcome. Let's see. I see somebody has their hand up, so let me bring them in. All right. Area code 111. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Talk. This is Michael. You know what?
Well, hello, Michael.
You know what? It is a sad case because this is a fact. Watch this fact. The person that you're speaking to right now, when I was in college, when I was in Texas, before we moved back to Maryland, I was a work study at the VA regional office in Texas. I know I could have gave your audience so much information, the ins and outs, how to speed up the process claim, what words and terminologies that you must use in your process claim. But because of your co-host attacking me, muting me out of the, I have a lot of information. I don't know everything. I'm
Michael,
well taken care of because
Michael,
I know the facts.
Michael,
but it's so
Michael,
sad that your co-host.
Michael. Okay, since you won't listen to me, since you won't be quiet so I can talk, I'll just shut you down for a minute. All right, now. You know, oh, he's hung up. He's gone. Well, Michael, I know you're still listening somewhere, but I just want you to know, you know, you spend more time complaining and whining about stuff instead of just going and putting the information out. Okay, so don't come in here blaming somebody because you didn't get no information you wanted to share because you kept running your mouth about everything but what you knew. All right, and I told you this is a different year. I'm not having all that nonsense. So if you want to be heard, come in, say what you got to say, and be done with it. It's that simple. Dang. It's just crazy. Anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. Are there any more comments that anyone wants to put out there before
hey,
we...
you got a great well, show. Great
oh,
show.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, Bob, and I wish you all the luck. I hope everything works out for you.
Well, they're trying to force me out of retirement. And, you know, I'm not going to get much. You only get a third of your pay. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame. Mm-hmm. And I've only been with the Federal Service 5 years. So they told me already you're only going to get $303 a month for your Federal Service. You have a minimum of 5 years in. So
wow.
We can't have you like this. You know, they're trying to say it nicely. You can't take off. We need you there. We do, you know. So they're trying to be nice about it. And the doctor doesn't want to give me a note to go back to work. It's a shame. It's a shame to be caught up like this. But God must keep my knee going for some reason. I have no idea. What's going on spiritually with it, but I know non-spiritually it all comes down to money. It all comes down to money.
Bob, this is Mr. Solution. How are you, sir?
Okay. I'm a Marine, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. Not a soldier.
Indeed. Yeah, say that. Repeat what you said, and you may want to expand on it a little bit, because let me just say this as a preface. Most people are afraid of, getting the money. There are always ways to do it. That is their greatest fear. So they find all kind of ways to, avoid dealing with that major issue, especially in a capitalistic society. Most people do not understand capitalism. So I noticed you said this at least twice, get the money, because that's your dignity. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm about to get some money. I'm ready to say Federal Service, yeah, I agree. Goodbye. Because I just found out something just 3 days ago, and it blew my mind, and I'm about to go out and do it. I can make like $100 an hour if I wanted to, which what I have, and it has to do with killing rats. I can kill rats dead, and within 3 or 4 hours, you'd be picking them up by your tails, throwing them out your door, or whatever you're going to do with them. But, I have a way of doing it now, and it's very inexpensive. And all I got to do is approach people and businesses and say, I can kill rats. You want any dead? You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, you ain't good. You ain't good with the two-legged rats. I know a lot of them.
Well, let me, of course, Bianchi is being his humorous self. But look here, just be careful with that, because anything that will kill rats will potentially be harmful to you. So people who work in the pesticide industries
come up with all kinds of ailments. I understand. Yes. But believe it or not, this kill humans. This will not kill cats and dogs, but it will kill rats, mice, coyotes, roaches, bed bugs, and everyone will be happy the way it's done. It's not what you think it is. It's not using stated pesticides, things like that. None of that. It is the simplest thing that once you knew about it, you would do the same thing I would do. Keep your mouth shut and just go out and do it, right? So I'm not going to tell anyone how I prepare it. But this stuff works. And the parts per million is so low that it doesn't bother humans. In great concentrations, yeah. Oh, yeah. very, very deadly. But when you're talking less than a drop in 5 gallons, are you kidding? You can kill rats all day with that stuff. And everybody be happy. And so I just got privy to that. And I'm going to go out with it. I'm going to say now with Federal Reserve, I'm getting out. I'm going. I don't need your 303, you know. I go out and make 100 an hour, more than that. But I've been having something going on in my mind. Should I share it, you know, and sell the idea to others, you know, like exterminators, things like that? That I'm not going to do right now. But what I did find out was by accident. There was rats being examined. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There was rats that were being examined as to why they were not dying to certain pesticides or certain amounts of pesticides. So different ones being tried out over months. Well, a particular item, a particular chemical, accidentally contacted another non-chemical, and were mixed, and were served accidentally to the rats, because it got on besides the pail, and was dripping in the cages, because they were large cages for these white rats. And within 2 hours, all of those rats were on their sides, dead, when they went back to look. And they said, what the hell killed these rats? They said it worked. So they went back and found out it came from the pail, and how that stuff got in the pail. They figured it all out. And they said, oh, my God, once this gets out, it'll be good. So there's one city in the United States, the exterminator. It was an exterminator doing an experiment. And he found out. So he's out there making money with his own secret. And then I found out about it. It was passed on to me. And then he said, go out and make some money with it, you know. So I'm just trying to figure out how I can do this. So I'm going to keep it real quiet and just go out and talk to people, you know, businesses. Hey, I'll kill your rats deader than dead. You know, just find someone to go in and pick them up by the tails and put them out. Right? But not only that, it kills coyotes.
Oh,
coyotes.
Lord. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And bed bugs.
Bob, we'd like to thank you for your participation in the show today. And
hey, thank you, brother.
Don't forget,
hey, you know what? I'm going to pass by and listen to your show. You got a good one here. I just happened to look for a show, and there you were. You were talking about the VA. You caught my attention. You know, VA, I'm a Marine. She keeps saying soldiers, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay. I appreciate your show. You're good. How long have you been running?
Oh, for a little over a year.
Okay, I'm starting up a show called the Robert M. Barber Show. You probably see it there in the chat room. Yeah, Robert M. Barber Show. That's me.
Okay.
And I'll be talking about different things, the new age and new energies out there, stuff like that. But really, the stuff I'm talking about for the rats, killing the rats, that's all good. You know, if I make money, are they going to take my Social Security away? They can't touch my Social Security, can they?
No. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, and this last answer, then we're going to get up out of here. It's one of those things that, you know, once you retire and you collect in Social Security, if you go back to work, you can work, but you have to be under a certain amount, you know, amount where you can still work and get Social Security. Now, if you happen to go over that certain income, then, you know, that affects your Social Security. But once again, we want to thank Bob for joining us today. He says the Robert M. Barber Show. All right, we're going to have to find that, y'all. And once again, sir, we thank you for joining us. And don't forget to go and file those claims So
I don't think
I'm going to. You deserve.
I don't think I'm going to need it, man. I don't think I'm going to need it. I think I'll be generating my own income. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not into those security programs. That's all it is. It's security.
Okay.
I have God as my security. He's kept me going this time. Like I'm saying, I've been around the sun 68 times.
Wow. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you for calling us again. You have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you. All right, y'all. Interesting. Very good show, though. All right, Mr. Solution, your last word, sir.
Yeah, good show, Eric. Glad I dropped by today. Now I got to get out of here, too. So see you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good one. All right. Well, I think that's about doing it for us today. Co-host, you've been quiet today. I know why, but go ahead and give us your last words.
The reason why is because I have military people in my family, and when they start talking, if you're not in the military, they don't listen to you anyway. It's an inside thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That I'm sorry that so many veterans are experiencing so much difficulties, and I'm shocked to hear that they're still processing claims from Vietnam, and I can't imagine why you guys are not amazed. Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess you probably are, but you didn't seem to react to that news in much, you know, with much alarm.
Mm-hmm.
They're still catch up from Vietnam. I hope the young people are listening so they won't go.
Okay, you cut out then.
Oh, where did I cut out?
Young people.
Okay, I said I hope the young people are listening and will see over the years how the veterans are treated, and perhaps they'll be smart enough not to keep going. To find another way.
Find another way. All right. Uh-oh, I guess Sister Ottawa want to get in on this too. So let me get her last words also. Okay, Sister Ottawa, you on
good
here.
Afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I just thought about Ngoni's last remark, and it made me think about some of the elders in my family who served in the Korean War, World War II, and how they came back. Alcoholism overtook them. They were withdrawn. They didn't discuss the atrocities they experienced, the racism. And unless we take the time to talk with our elders, we won't get this kind of information, you know, because it's like it's pent up in us. Even the atrocities that we have experienced just in society alone, if we don't talk about them, then they stay pent up in us, and then we have all types of behaviors that are displayed. So I want to thank you, and I want to ditto my sister Ngone to young people, don't go.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ottawa, and much love to you also. Oh, man, y'all done started something now. We got hands coming up all over the place. I say we leaving and everybody wants to talk now. All right, Eric. All right, Eric Code 561, you on the air. Your last words.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I, too, had people, you know, in the Vietnam War. My brother had a boil on his butt to this day. And what I did, I joined the anti-war movement, and I started protesting about him. And now I think he's getting the help that he needs now. This was a great, great show. You should have this type more often.
Okay. All righty, ma'am. Well, thank you much. Thank you. All right, y'all. Co-host, any remarks to anything the lady said?
No, I just want to thank her for her input.
And I hope
that we can visit the topic from you know, a different perspective and share the Mike Riviera new audio about the fact that all wars are bankers' wars.
I hope. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. And, yeah, we'll have to take a look at that for sure. All right, y'all. Another great show. Y'all know it's Wednesday, and I usually get out here at a decent time. But I'm looking at the chat room. Some say they would like to have Ms. Rainey's contact information. So I'll get that from her, and I'll post it in the chat room tomorrow. Okay? But, hey, if there's a veteran in your family and you know they need help or they just refuse to help, get them some help, all right? In fact, there's a number I'm going to put into the chat room right now, 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. And what that is a hotline to where they can get the help they need or be referred to get help. So that's a start, you know, because there's too many of them out there that it's really too many of them out there that need help and not getting it. And like Sister Ola would say, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of them drawn. Don't talk about it much. I fit some of those categories. I really do. But, you know, I'm working through it with the help of, you know, some good people in my corner. So I understand what they're going through, but I also understand that it can be handled or dealt with slowly, but it can be taken care of. All right? So without anything... All right. So that'll be it. Tomorrow's show is 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific and 1 Mountain Time. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. But remember, if you haven't forgiven yourself, you can never forgive anyone else. And most of all, my happiness pill for everybody, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, there's not too much that can get you down, and that's for sure. All right? So just remember those crazy, crazy words I said. All right, so I'm going to get up out of here now. Y'all have a good one. We see y'all tomorrow. Man, we're going to leave y'all with some of that Wednesday music jazz. Later.